Good morning. Welcome to the China cross-cultural version of chapel. this is pretty exciting. You may notice that not all of our group is here right now. There are only 10 students here of the 12 that went on the cross-cultural. Aaron Harder is visiting his brother in South Korea right now, so he flew straight to South Korea instead of returning to America with us. And Tasia Frank was not able to make it today. She had a car accident on the night we returned, so unfortunately she could not join us today, but we would invite you to... She is okay. She's doing well. Thanks. She's in good condition. I just invite you to think about those two as they're in different places as we are right now, and just pray for them with us. In addition, our fearless leaders, Merle and Ruthie Byler, are not joining us. They are at a conference in Southeast Asia. I'm sure they're enjoying their time at said conference. Thankfully, we do have two of our other leaders with us, Eric and Ling. Bear with us as we do this chapel presentation this morning. Monday was a 30-hour day for most of us, so we're all kind of jet-lagged and not functioning at 100%, as you can probably tell by my divergent thoughts. Just bear with us as we try to consolidate 3 months of excitement, 3 months of adventure, 3 months of confusion, 3 months of personal growth, 3 months of group growth, as we try to pull that all together in 30 very, very short minutes. We'll do our best. Welcome.
What I find most memorable about China is how it blew away all my expectations. We went to a village that was made of clay, where there seemed to be no outside influence. The children would play happily in a stream while the parents were doing chores of washing clothes in the same stream. And then the next week, we would be in a city so big it would take hours to travel from one end to another, where if you tried to look up at all the buildings, you would soon have a really sore neck. The millions of people going around it, especially millions. The city we stayed in most of the time, they referred to as a small city. Millions and millions of people there. And they were like, oh, it's a small city. I'm like, that's like three of my hometowns in one place. The cities in China are very fast-paced, fast life. So it's both comparing of both of those, of a small clay town to a big city. And that was very surprising for me. I couldn't imagine how different each part of China could be. It was very different. But staying with host families was also something that I was not prepared for. The amount of love a stranger could give to someone they did not know really surprised me. Sometimes I would feel like I was intruding on someone's life. And it turned out that my host family really wanted to host a foreigner, that they had dreamt of this day for years and was glad when EMU offered them the opportunity to host me. And they treated me just like part of the family. Sometimes we would sit together for dinner and discuss how our days went. My host parents did not speak English, but my host mom was learning just so she could speak to me. She would use her phone to translate. She would try her best to communicate with me when her daughter wasn't around. And we took a Mandarin class, and in the evenings, they would help me with my homework. We would sit down, and they'd help me with characters. They'd help me with my pronunciation. And when their daughter came home, which she, Monday through Saturday, went to school 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, about 6 to 9, as a ninth grader in high school. I would often help her with her homework, her English homework, that is. And it felt a lot like a family would feel, and that was very surprising. So, like, by the end of the stay, I felt like part of their family, the very tall part of the family, that is. Did you see from the picture that was playing earlier? All the places I went in China and all the things I saw were well above my expectation. I'm happy to be home, but the memories I made in China will be with me for a lifetime.
So China is a country full of large numbers. As Courtney was saying, millions of people, millions of millions of people, all living in various conditions, large cities or small towns. But speaking of large numbers, we have some statistics to share with you guys about our trip. So, number of trip members, 16.
Number of trip members at chapel, 12.
Number of students on the trip, 12.
Number of students on the trip named Aaron, 3.
Number of people living in Nanchong, which is where we had our main host stay, 1.8 million.
Number of Americans living in Nanchong in September, 18.
Number of Americans living in Nanchong in September besides our cross-cultural group, 3.
Average price of a bowl of noodles in Nanchong, $1.50.
Price of a single bus fare in Nanchong, 30 cents.
Average price of a taxi ride in Nanchong, $2.
Number of types of transportation used by our group on this trip, 18.
Number of miles walked, 503.7 miles.
Number of mountains climbed, 7.
Number of sand dunes climbed, 1.
Longest amount of time spent on a single airplane, 14 hours.
Longest amount of time spent in a single airport, 8 hours.
Number of cities visited, 18.
Number of cities visited larger than Dallas, 12.
Number of university welcoming parties attended, 4.
Number of university welcoming parties at which we were expected to perform, 3.
Number of hair sprouts bought, 17.
Number of selfie sticks bought, 2.
And finally, number of pictures taken with random Chinese strangers, too many to count. Thank you.
So I came up to talk to you guys about group dynamics, which sounds a little bit boring, so I like to think of it more of how did 12 people all wake up in China every day for 3.5 months and not try to repeatedly punch each other in the face. Because this is actually one of the smallest cross-cultural groups that EMU has ever produced and sent out. And there's a reason for that. When you're with more people, and like more people are around you, you can distract yourself from one another. And the people that you don't get along with as well, try to avoid them. But in our case, we couldn't really avoid each other, so we kind of had to spend a lot of time with each other. Everyone in this group is different. We all have different upbringings, different points of views, different beliefs. Some of us have been out of the country many times and have been to many different countries, and others of us had left Virginia a few times. And a few of us knew each other before the trip, but some had no idea the kinds of people they were signing up to stay 3.5 months with. And I'd be lying if I said that there was no tension between group members ever. One of the big things that brought us together, though, in China was that, well, we spoke the same language. And we could have conversations with each other that were more complicated than, yes, that food was very good. Thank you. But these differences that made some disagreements between us also made our time in China even better, because we bonded over a lot of the differences that we had. With all of the experience that we had in China, whether amazing or terrible, we all had different reactions, and being able to see how other people with different perspectives reacted to things allowed each one of us to grow and understand not just the host culture better, but also different members of the group, and different people of the world. And while there was tension at points, we also made some very strong connections with each other, and as time went on, there began to be less and less tension. 12 people being in China for 3.5 months is amazing and crazy, and we had some absolutely insane experiences. And I will say this, there is no other group of people I would have rather stayed with.
Every American that goes to China, one of the first things that they notice is that the English, the signs that are in English, are almost always mistranslated, slightly wrong, or in most cases, completely wrong. I kind of took it upon myself to document our own adventures with bad English in China. So I just have a couple of examples for you. This was in Hong Kong in a subway terminal. Take what you want from that. I guess it means no spitting. This was in the old city of Lijiang. This store is selling Western food, pizza, breakfast, wireless network, and affairs. This was also in Lijiang. We passed a troop of scooters that all had Jesus is the Christ, Son of the Living God on the side. So you can ride your scooter and support your faith at the same time. Just a notice on a wall, please don't stride the wall. This was in a Holiday Inn at one of the cities we were at. It says, please don't eat the display. In case you were thinking about it. This sign we found on one of our hikes. If you can't read it, it says, forest such as love, fire on everyone. Now, the Chinese says something like, forest fires are everyone's responsibility to prevent. That one didn't quite come through correctly. This is just the first in a long litany of toilet errors. I guess not errors, this one's just kind of funny. The infamous toilet. This is a correct translation of the Chinese. It just sounds really funny because why would you buy hand toilet yak meat? I guess the Chinese like it. I don't know. The Chinese do not like when you tread on their grass, so they have a lot of signs posted on their grass, and they always have some sort of, you know, poetry thing to them. This is one of the favorite ones I saw. It says, flowers cry when treaded, grass depresses after foot touch, cherish flowers and grass. If that doesn't make you want to avoid stepping on the grass, I don't know what will. All right. This is us. This was in a hotel lobby at a concierge desk. The Chinese translates to concierge intern or something similar, but yeah, I don't have anything to say on that. This we found driving to Tibet. It says, yak milk from the zero pollution. Self-explanatory. Make sure you carefully slip on the road. This was in a bathroom. Reminder, in order to secure your property, properly managed good carry valuables. Keep that in mind, guys. Also, this was in a men's bathroom. On top of a urinal, it's a little bit hard to read, but it says, it's civilized to move a little further step to urinate. It's so polite. It's so polite. And yet there always seems to be actually urine on every single Chinese bathroom floor. So that's why they need signs like this. These signs really do look out for you. If you're ever lost, you just read the signs. They'll tell you what to do. Beware of catching a cold when hiking in the mountain. So that's just a brief sampler of what English for the past 3 months has been like in our lives. We're glad to be back.
Mountaintop experience is a well-coined phrase. I found multiple such experiences while on top of Chinese mountains. Moments where, for a short time, I can feel like everything is right with the world. I was struck that most Chinese mountains we visited were topped with a religious symbol, such as Buddhist temple, monastery, pagoda, prayer flags, or red good luck charms, to name a few. These symbols represent a faith that is different from my own. However, they portray a clear message that I can resonate with. This message is hope. We all put our hope in something, and it's interesting to see how mountains still shift our focus towards something or someone greater. One such mountaintop experience was a two-day hike on Tiger Leaping Gorge, and I'd like to share a poem that I wrote after this experience. The sound, crossed between a roaring airplane motor and the gentle shh of a mother. Light rushes into the water droplets and dances off, showering all around with beauty. Joy swells, pushing excitement through my course. I step in. Cool water meshes with hot sweat, grateful face. Somewhere between heart and soul springs forth the melody, there's no place I'd rather be. And I realize, I believe this message, and that I too am a part of his magnificent creation. Thank you.
So as Clara mentioned, we visited several universities throughout the semester, and one of the common expectations was to have the guests perform. The Moon Represents My Heart is a classic song, and it was our go-to Chinese song to sing. Because everyone in the audience knew it and could sing along, we never actually had to learn the lyrics until now. So, here it is.
Before leaving our host to begin traveling Western China, I was put into a situation where my host's home had an attempted break-in while we were out at dinner. When we arrived back at the apartment, the lock was shredded as well as stab marks in the door from the person attempting to get through. When the police were trying to figure out the motives, one idea was that the person was trying to get to me because I was foreign. While being abroad as an American or a foreigner, many people have the idea that we carry a lot of money or that we have a lot of things of value worth stealing. In this moment, the mindset that I had been carrying with me about being safe was taken away. This single moment still rings true as the scariest of my entire trip. The thought that the people who I find security in were on the other side of the earth and out of reach was the hardest thing for my mind to accept. After the attempted break-in, I felt so embraced and cared for by my cross-cultural family. My leaders affirmed my feelings and became my foundation to grow on my cross-cultural. They were there through every high and low moment I went through, processing and fully accepting that I was abroad for 3.5 months and completely out of my comfort zone. My leaders kept me grounded and at times had to take on a parental role to pull me out of my sadness, which seemed to come in waves and consume my mindset. They are the heroes of our cross-cultural and deserve more credit than I could ever give them. Being abroad has taught me the true meaning of being thankful. During Thanksgiving, when we all were together, sharing the experience of being away from our loved ones was the first time I began to view these people as my family away from home. I'm so excited to be back with my family and friends, but I will miss the people that made this trip of a trip of a lifetime for me. The importance and value of each of them hold is something I cannot not express in the limited amount of time I have. Our leader, Merle Byler, and his wife, Ruthie, are still abroad traveling through Asia during Christmas. I believe that they deserve a huge thank you from all of us. With Merle being such a strong-hearted person, he gave so much of himself to ensure that our trip was unforgettable and was a huge piece of our stability and comfort as we discovered more about our identities abroad. When writing about the care and love his wife Ruthie gave us in China, I found that any way I could state it would be a vast understatement. She held such value in our cross-cultural, and in many ways, I view her the way that my mother holds such value in my own life. Two of our leaders are here today with us and were key in making sure that we got through all our gates on time and home safe and sound. Both Ling and Eric helped us learn Chinese while abroad, taught us how to successfully haggle prices, and many other tricks to survive the challenges we faced. I've taken so many memories away from our trip that are rooted in the humor we shared on many occasions with them, and of course, with their daughter Ella. You both brought so much positivity to our trip, and of course, the little celebrity Ella always had us smiling. I would like to invite the two of them to come to stage with Ella.
Please pray with me.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this incredible experience, for our leaders, and for all of the relationships that we built in China. I also thank you for each person here and these wonderful friendships and relationships that we have to return to. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe, and that you walk with us as we come back and transition back here to life in the States. We praise you, we thank you, and we love you. Amen. So now we're going to show the picture slideshow once more. Please stay, and after that, you're dismissed.
Different and the same, gave you another name, switch.
place I'd rather be. Yeah.